Icebox is bad. Beat the rich. Show your stomach you can. Beat the rich. Pull the rich out of the power. Thank you to shame. Spreading out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of him.
Welcome to another edition of Subversity here with Dan Zhang. Today we're going to talk about what's happening in Anaheim. And stay tuned. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. With us in the studio is one-time KUCI public affairs host of the show's News Gap, formerly known as News Gap. And he's back now, but in another capacity. He's the representative of the Hotel Workers Union. Welcome, John Earl.
Thank you.
What's the full name of your union?
Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union, Local 681. We're in Anaheim, throughout Orange, various parts of Orange County, Long Beach. We've got about 7,000 members.
How many in Orange County?
Well, most of them are in Orange County.
And are they predominantly Latino?
I don't know about that. A large percentage are. I don't know if it's predominant, though.
So what's been happening in Anaheim? We read in the papers a lot about the city council being kind of anti-immigrant, I guess. But this is this relates to the police, specifically.
Well, I guess you're talking about an ordinance, it's called Chapter 4.30 of the Anaheim Municipal Code, and it's been the subject of news articles in the Los Angeles Times and on television news broadcasts, and it requires anybody in the city of Anaheim who serves alcohol, and that means just carrying it up to somebody's room in a hotel, anything like that. It also requires anybody who works in a building after hours for the purpose of cleaning or maintenance, and models and the people in dance studios to have an ID card.
Why dance studios?
Well, I don't know. I didn't write the ordinance. The ordinance goes back to 1965. And, you know, only heaven knows what it was made for then. It has absolutely no utilitarian or practical purpose whatsoever as far as helping to ensure any kind of quality control among the people who work in restaurants or serve alcohol. It's not an educational tool. It doesn't assure that they know anything about the laws pertaining to serving alcohol or anything like that. That's already taken care of in other training. All this does is gather give them an ID card, and there's an application that goes along with that, and that application asks information that is illegal by the California laws, by federal law, by the California State Constitution, by the United States Constitution to ask, or the application puts the city in a position of acting in a way that violates various of those aforementioned codes or laws.
Because it invades privacy or what?
It invades privacy. It requires the city to, the city is acting as an employer and is asking questions that an employer cannot ask, like what your arrest record is, you know, if you've been arrested, not if you've been convicted, but if you've been arrested. It asks about your citizenship. People have been required to disrobe so that they can show tattoos on their rear end, and I don't know if the police are photographing that, but they're certainly noting it in whatever way. People have been patted down, although part of the reason they were patted down, I know of one case where that has happened, it was because the fingerprint machine at the front office wasn't there yet or was broken. The computers were down. And actually, this has happened in several cases. And so the person had to go to the jail, the Anaheim Police Department, to go through the process. And if you go into jail, then you have to be patted down. So
was that person fingerprinted there?
The person was fingerprinted there, yeah. And so all they're asking for a social security number, and so they have no business asking any of these questions, and they know it. And they were asking them to, we're going to ask them, that they've already been asking the council members and the city staff to agendize this issue for the council meeting tonight. And they refused to do that. We did meet with some representatives of the city on Friday, and but they still refused to agendize the item. Although they admit, as you may have read in the newspapers, they admit that there are problems with both the application and the ordinance, and that they're going to revise the amendment. Although they have it, and I'm talking to the people who are saying this as of now are the chief of police and the assistant city attorney who we met with, and other representatives of those departments, and the mayor, Mayor Bailey.
Don't they also ask, don't they ask about citizenship?
Yeah, they ask what your citizenship is. So they have no business asking any of these questions. Go ahead.
Is there concern among the workers that if they're not a citizen, that they might report this to the INS?
Well, of course, there is a concern among a lot of our workers about that, many of our workers. And it's not as if the city doesn't already have public relations problems in the way that the police department relates to immigrants in the city. But it's not just that issue. It's not just the immigration issue. It's the whole issue of why are the police invading the privacy of the workers? Why do they have to get this ID card to begin with? And what are the police going to do with all this information that they have no business asking anyways?
You know, in the paper, the police responded by saying that it was useful to have this information if there was, a shooting at a nightclub or something. Then they could at least know who works there and who they could interview as witnesses, they said.
Yeah, I would venture to guess that that's a response on the part of the police department to a point that I made in our meeting earlier that day or the prior day, which I said, can you cite one example where this ID card will help prevent crime or anything like that? And because the chief of police said the reason this ordinance was passed is to help keep crime down in Anaheim. And he said that, and he touted it as being to a significant extent responsible for the reduction in crime that has occurred in Anaheim. Of course, we've had this reduction in crime all across the nation, and there isn't another city in all across the county, and there's another city in Orange County that has this ID card. And we told our myself and the other representatives of the union, our president was there, and our agent, one of our business agents was there, and we thought that was a rather incredulous statement, and there's absolutely no evidence to back that up whatsoever. And the example he gave, he was saying that they had a shooting, is that what it said on paper? And they closed, the people were terrified, so they closed the bar down, the employees went home. And if they would have had an ID card, they would have known who worked there. Well, I'm sure they can get records of who works at a place. And if that's all they need, then they can just ask the bars to give them a list of people who work there and their phone numbers and their addresses, and they could call them up if there's a murder or something. We haven't had too many murders that I know of in Disneyland or at the Anaheim Hotel. I don't know of any that's ever occurred there.
there was some.
They've had some accidents at Disneyland, but it has nothing to do with.
I think there was
some
fighting outside in the parking lot. I think.
Well, but I mean, I'm just trying to point out how ridiculous that statement by the chief of police is. It's
what's his name?
Last name is Baker. I believe you better check on that. Baker. Yeah.
What was this? Maybe you could give us some idea of what was the atmosphere like. When the union representatives met with him, who was there? How many people from the police were there? How many from your side?
Well, I don't have a complete list with me of who exactly was there, but the main people, the representatives, the chief of police was there, Mr. Baker, the representative of the assistant city manager was there, and the city attorney was there as well, and I was there. Our president, Mary Mahoney, was there, and our business agent, who is a business agent for Disneyland Park, Margie Strike, was there.
What did the city attorneys have to say at that meeting?
Well, they all pretty much echoed they all had their game plan firmly in place there, obviously, and I felt that they were kind of monopolizing trying to control the way the meeting went. And to control to monopolize the time, the talking, and during the meeting, and I felt it was, kind of arrogant. And I also thought, they basically said, well, this is what we should do. This is how we should handle the situation. And now it's time to. That's all we need to discuss today.
Well,
that kind of attitude.
So they didn't act defensive in face of all the criticism in the paper, for instance.
No, they did say that there are problems with the ordinance. They did say, and then the chief of police kind of grudgingly said that even with the application there was a problem, and they said that they need to study this over the next few weeks. That they would like to work with us to go over the ordinance and the application and make the necessary changes. And they wanted us to acknowledge at the council meeting tonight that they were working with us. But my personal opinion is that if they really are sincere, completely sincere, I don't think they're completely insincere, but if they were completely sincere, what they would do is agendize the item for tonight, and they would have so that the city council could respond officially and say, okay, yes, we acknowledge, as the mayor already has in a telephone call to our president, we acknowledge that there are problems with this ordinance and application. We need to study it more. We want to work with the union and all workers throughout the city to do that. That would have been the right thing to do. But I feel that they're trying to, the representatives we met with were just trying to buy time.
Damage control.
I think it was damage control and buying time, yeah. That's what it seemed like. Now we'll see.
Did they admit to not turning, or did they say they did not turn over the information to the immigration authorities?
Right. They say they did not do that.
So they told you that?
They said that they in no way will use this to, they will not turn this over to, it has nothing to do with immigration. And that's what they said, yeah.
So their justification is like it helps them solve crimes?
It helps. I said, can you cite a single example or a study or anything that shows this, how this works, how this has helped reduce crime so much in Anaheim? He said, well, you're seeing the results of it in the reduced crime rate that Anaheim has. It has one of the lowest crime rates of any city in its size classification, and the lowest or one of the lowest of any tourist city. And that's because of this ordinance, and I say that's absolute nonsense.
Did they agree to this meeting prior to the press coverage?
Yes. The meeting, yes, it was. The meeting, the mayor had asked us to meet. We'd tried to call the mayor. The mayor had arranged this meeting prior to that, yes.
When did you find out about this whole procedure that required your workers to union workers to register for this ID card.
Well, it's not just union workers. Again, it's all, and it's all not just hotel workers. And but any janitor in the city, any maintenance worker in the city has to do that. I found out about it myself a couple of months ago, and at that time, some of our staff were concerned because some of our members were concerned, and so I was asked to look into, do a little research, call up the police tomorrow, try to find out what the purpose was of this was. I called the city manager's office, or was it the city attorney? I called the city, and nobody really knew what it was for. The best answer I got was from the person in the vice squad, Ms. Young. I believe the name is Kelly Young, the vice squad, and I called her, and she said they had received a grant from the Alcohol and Beverage Control branch of the state of California. And that with this grant now, they were going to enforce this throughout the city, whereas before they had not been able to do that so much. And because this is not a new ordinance, like I said, and they have been enforcing it, but not just here and there, apparently, or at smaller places. And in fact, they closed down one of our smaller union places for about a day a couple of years ago, because they came in there with the police officer and somebody from the Alcohol and Beverage Control organization from the state, and they asked for some of the check for some other things, and then they said, where are your ID, do you have your ID cards? They said, no, we don't have them, and because they never heard of that, and so they closed them down, and they had to pay $75 each. They had to go to court the next day.
So what were the complaints from the more recent your more recent members? Why did they complain about this?
Well, there a lot of them are concerned. A lot of the immigrant workers are concerned, and a lot of other workers are concerned about the privacy issues. And there's been some concern about the inconvenience of having to do it too.
Were they treated badly by the police?
No, I don't think they were treated badly. I don't think there was anybody to say they were treated badly. It was not the police. There wasn't any, physical or verbal abuse. It was just the fact that they had to go through this process. That was what was bothersome.
Did they have to, you said earlier that they had to be patted down. Did they have to strip and show tattoos? Or?
One, I know one person who had to strip at least partially to show the tattoo.
So it's interesting that from the coverage, it looks like the ACLU seems worried about this enforcement of this law.
Yeah, I think the ACLU is very concerned about it. I think any civil liberties organization would be concerned about it. Intermandad Mexicana Nacional is concerned about it. And I think we're just seeing the if they don't do something about this, we're just seeing the beginning of this, the public concern about the issue.
Why do you think Anaheim is the only, in your research, have you found out why Anaheim is the only city that actually apparently has this ordinance?
I don't know why they're the only one that apparently has it. I know they have something in Las Vegas. probably because of organized crime, the history of organized crime and that kind of thing there. But my understanding from one of our members who was an attorney called up there and asked them, well, do you have this? And they said, yeah. But they don't have to answer all those kind of questions on there, in the application. So
in Vegas, you mean?
In Vegas, yeah. But I don't know of any in Orange County that has that, and no one else has been able to find that.
So this applies to, if you work in an area where that serves alcohol, or it applies to other places?
Anybody who... If you're a room attendant, you're working for room service at the hotel, and you carry a beer on a tray up to the room, you have to have an ID card. If you clean offices after hours, after regular business hours, you have to have an ID card. So
what do you mean clean off?
If you come in and you do the maintenance, you clean, you vacuum, you empty the trash.
What does that have to do with alcohol, though?
That has nothing to do with alcohol.
But this is ABC, you said alcohol control.
Right, that's a good question, because I'm trying to...
Control board, whatever.
Yeah, at this point, and I guess we should say when this has been recorded, too, right? Because we're talking about tonight, because this is going to be... When people are hearing this, it will be Tuesday, okay? Right. Well, no, it's important because maybe there'll be more research done in that time. But I've been trying to research the grant issue behind this, okay?
How long does the grant last?
I don't know. I've asked for details from the city as of yesterday, two days ago, actually. I've asked the city for... For information on the grant. Now, I was looking on the internet a little bit, just on it's part of this program that the ABC has these various grant programs, and apparently this has been growing over the years. You know how these grant things work. You know, they get going, and everybody gets a hold of them, and then the newest thing, the rage. And I just want to know if the police are using this grant money in an imaginative way that wasn't foreseen by the ABC. And I don't know that yet, but from what I've seen so far on the website about their grant programs, there doesn't seem to be anything that is specific to what they're doing here with an ID card. They were talking about, you know, that they have programs where people go undercover, you know, and try to bust store owners who are selling alcohol to minors, that kind of thing, educational programs. I didn't see anything about an ID card or that would relate to this. And but it's also curious that the ABC, two places, the ABC, an ABC officer was present with the police where this had been enforced.
When they're citing somebody.
So I don't know. That there's some area that needs to, this could be very interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like you know, there's another grant that I think the bureau does that has given out for sobriety tests. I think that's from the same bureau, and although maybe not, maybe it's another.
Right, but see, you raise a good question though, and I hadn't thought of before, because why would this grant be used? Why would it be applied to janitors? What's that got to do with ABC, the alcohol beverage control? What does that got to do with it? Now that I hadn't thought of that before, so
I think the sobriety one actually may have been with traffic, some other government agency in Sacramento that actually has been giving out grants. And one of the criticism we had on another show on KCA, we had another guest who was critical of that, and his point was that, you know, this is like basically unlimited thing. You could have police station at all these stop points on the road, and they would all get overtime. And so the grant helps pay for all this extra enforcement. And so maybe they're getting extra money when they go out on the road. Or every time they sign up somebody for a new ID, maybe that's what pays for somebody's overtime.
We'll have to see. We'll have to look into it and see what that is.
So that's an interesting area to research.
Yeah. We'll find out about that, and that might be one of the more interesting parts of this.
I was curious about the city council meeting. Why do you think the city didn't want it on the agenda?
You know, I can only speculate.
Right.
But
they didn't think it was a serious issue.
Oh, I'm sure they thought it was a serious issue. Because, you know, Hermandad Mexicana Nacional, Nativa Lopez, who represents that organization, was at the previous council meeting.
Oh.
And he threatened a boycott of the city, and to come back and protest and so on if the city of Anaheim didn't change some of its policies regarding the police and the INS station there that they have
in the jail
and that kind of thing. I don't understand why they want to. It seems to me that they would want to take care of this issue before that other issue, related issue, comes to the fore, because this is just adding another layer onto that controversial issue, and I don't think they need that. I don't understand why they, it seems, you know, that I guess there's maybe some people that want this program so badly that, but I'm not sure that the council members even knew what this about this program.
You've talked to some council members, right?
I've spoken to some of them, yeah.
And what's their reaction?
Well, I'm the mayor called us, and I didn't speak to him. The our president talked to him, and it's my understanding that he said he acknowledged that there are problems. I guess the official line now is that there are problems.
What's the mayor's name?
The mayor Daley. I just wonder if the I spoke to one council person who had never heard of this, and this is one of those things that's passed in the consent part of the council agenda for the on the evenings. You'll see, if you look in the last council meeting, February 13th, you'll see a list of these grants, law enforcement grants, grants to the police department, authorizing the chief of police to put together a grant proposal. Okay, and one of those is from the ABC. There's another one for some various other types of educational crime-related programs and so on.
So this was just approved?
So I don't know. I don't know about this one specifically. I see another one there from the ABC, and I'm assuming that this is probably the way that
I see
this one was.
So there's very little discussion, you're saying?
Probably.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well the council members really study these consent items before they pass them. And that's another issue, because
there's a really conservative, would you call this the city council really conservative or what? Anti-immigrant or not? You wouldn't call them that. I mean, they've been facing a lot of, kind of outsiders coming into the area, just trying to stir up trouble, right?
Right. I don't know. I don't know that anybody there is anti-immigrant. I mean, you'd have to look inside their souls to know that, and I can't do that.
But they didn't vote. You know, like this Barbara Coe has been showing up at.
Is
she showing up at city council meetings and trying to get them to issue statements?
She was there, she was there, and. Your old another talk show host from here was there.
Former.
And I think they have pressures. I think they have a lot of pressures from anti-immigrant groups.
But so that's why
I don't know that any of them themselves are anti-immigrant.
That's why they've been able to resist that.
He
would say.
Well, they have the INS deal there. But
I see.
When was that
system set up? The INS.
I'm not an expert on that. All I know is that they have it there. So I don't know exactly when it was set up, but it was. I do know that President Clinton used it as a model for, for law enforcement. Law enforcement should be across the country, and that's another issue, though.
But didn't they say? Did they tell you that they, that their policy is not to. Not to report. I mean, what is their policy in Anaheim? Do they, if people are charged with misdemeanors, even do they report that to the INS?
If somebody goes into if somebody's arrested and they go into the jail, then I don't want to speak specifically to that. Yeah, I better not.
You don't know. Okay. What is the in general? I mean, the people you represent, have they had good relations with the police or not? I mean, can you say things like that?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. For example, when we had our last demonstration in, not the last one in Anaheim, but one of our larger ones last summer at the Arrowhead Pond, and we had civil disobedience going on out in the intersection there in front of the pond, blocking the incoming traffic and all that, and the police acted with real good restraint, and they were fine, and so we have good relations in that regard with them. I know there are problems with there are some severe public relations problems with between the police and the people who live behind Disneyland in the Jeffrey Lynn neighborhood. And we have, as of my last count, approximately 130 or so members, and then including their family members, which would be more in that area, although that's being redeveloped, so people are being moved out as part of the redevelopment and, you know, relocated and all that. So our members are in there, but I know of, you know, there have been a lot of problems there in the past.
How about with this whole issue of police complaint forms? I know you've been instrumental in trying to get them to change the wording. Is that right?
Right. Myself and some others, and Los Amigos. I mean, David with Los Amigos and Josie Montoya with...
What was the concern there? What was the original wording that people found objectionable?
Well, the that they would be held... it was kind of heavy-handed in the way it said they would be held responsible for any
false allegations.
It was the way it was worded. And also the Spanish wasn't correct, according to someone who speaks Spanish much better than I, Mr. David. And they haven't made those changes. They hadn't as of the last. In fact, the issue was brought up at Los Amigos meeting, which is a community group meeting every Wednesday. The issue was brought up there. There was a representative there from the Anaheim Police Department. And so nothing's changed on that. So we were trying to get put forth some reforms in that area, and we haven't gotten anywhere on that.
You know, the right after the, I think it was right after some, I forget what day was that, I showed up at the police department trying to get a complaint form. I guess it was one Tuesday after some city council meeting. Mm-hmm. And at first they wouldn't give me the form. They said I had to sign and give my name to them, and I said I just want a blank form, and the officer was kind of rude, and then he just disappeared in the back, and then it took like 20 minutes later before somebody, I guess it maybe a more senior person, mm-hmm. came out, and he was actually pretty nice. I mean, he just gave me the form. He had to sign at the bottom for some reason to show that he gave it to me, but mm-hmm. he didn't make me sign anything.
Right.
And he didn't ask for my name. But it, you know, it took me 20 minutes, whereas the forms are actually available in the public library down the street.
Right.
So it's kind of weird that they make such a big hassle about giving out complaint
forms. I think police like to get all the information they can whenever they can, and any way that happens to avail itself to them. You know, I think that's a problem with a lot of... That's the problem with this ID issue here. You know, the police say they're not going to abuse. First of all, they shouldn't have the information. They shouldn't be asking for the information they're asking for. Second of all, what are they going to do with this? We all know that police, law enforcement agencies all across this country want databases, you know, crime databases with your fingerprints, all the information, just like a crime credit bureau or something, I guess.
DNA.
All that stuff will come with the same problems that come with your inaccurate credit bureau statements and reports
have
you. And besides, they're collecting information alleged things. You know, if somebody was arrested for something, well, that's already on record at whatever police department arrested that person. You know, they don't. This is just some part of this is redundant, and it's very threatening. What in this day of high technology and all that, and questionable police science, then what's going to happen with this information?
Is it is the request or the requirement? I mean, for this ABC ID or whatever, supposedly this ordinance, does it? Is it limited to adults? I mean, minors cannot get the ID, right?
Well, minors can't serve alcohol, but
if they were to be a janitor, right?
Right. That's a good question. That's a very good question. You raised another good point there.
Did they ask for age? They must have asked for age in the form, right? On the form, I suppose it would be.
You know, I guess I should have brought the application with me, but I'm sure they asked for date of birth and all that.
Oh, that's true.
That's pretty standard on any application. So.
Right. You know, there was a controversy in the paper, at least reported in the papers, about, was it Placentia Police that put down a code for black people on traffic tickets recently?
Oh, they're using they're using the letter N.
Yeah, and do you know if what they do in Anaheim, what the police citations say?
I have no idea.
Because I know in Garden Grove, which I was involved in helping some girls who were suing the police, even after they settled the case with the ACLU represented them over there being photographed and stopped by the police and being because they wore baggy pants,
mm-hmm.
the forms, even there, after the settlement, use O for Asians, meaning Oriental.
Mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm,
is mm-hmm. considered a derogatory term.
Right.
So yeah. I think a lot of these police tend not to follow federal guidelines. And the newspaper said that the for Latinos, it was depending on the race. So I didn't understand. It didn't say that put L for Latino or H for Hispanic. It just said, it seems like you're supposed to put white or some other thing. You know, there was no...
What only happened, then they used to lump... Hispanic
right.
was considered a white race, I guess, right? Is that the way? I don't...
But how do they differentiate then? I don't know how they... do you know in how they do it in Anaheim?
I don't know.
Maybe L.
Tattoos?
Maybe.
I don't know.
No, I meant how... What they,
I'm just
what
being
they
facetious.
Record.
I have no idea what they're, what they're doing.
Lots of people wear tattoos. You know, U.S. Marines who are Caucasian also have tattoos.
But that's the problem is how are the police interpreting
right.
all this information that they're collecting? These weird things they're asking people, you know.
Yeah.
Well, why do they need to know that a bartender has a tattoo on his rear end or her rear end, you know?
It's just another identification point, like if you have a birthmark or something.
Right, and if
they
often
ask for that in the forms.
If here's the thing, let's take this as logical conclusion. If this ID card does help lower crime, which it does not, but if that's its purpose, then why don't we? And if it's already applying to janitors too. It has nothing to do with alcohol. Then why don't we make everybody in the city, every worker in the city, have an ID card, including the council members, and you know, so they can, if they have tattoos, they can get them photographed too. Why not have everybody in the city who works or even lives there? I mean, if fill out one of these forms. I mean, that's the logical conclusion of this. It really is. That is not far-fetched. Theoretically, it is not far-fetched at all. And so this is discriminatory, too. Who are the people who have to fill these out? These are mostly, as far as I can see, mostly lower-income workers. Although not all of them. That's not totally true. Because
if you're a bartender,
bartenders can be making quite a bit of money.
Right.
Room service people could be, you know, anybody who makes tips could be making quite a bit of money. But it's still discriminatory because there's a lot of people left out here, okay? Why not have everybody, including the chief of police, have an ID card like that? So,
I think the assumption is that maybe it's a kind of vice assumption, right? That this is concerning vice because
it's from the vice squad. Yeah,
yeah, is serving alcohol used to be thought of.
I just don't know of many janitors who've been involved in vice squad type crimes, or you know, and I don't.
Maybe they could get IDs for other people that stay at motels, for instance, because there might be a lot of vice at motels, huh?
Well, we're wondering about people I wonder about people who are in a hotel. They're guests there. They've received
right.
the alcohol's been brought up to them, and then they serve it to somebody. Of course, maybe I guess it says they're employees, so if they're not an employee, I guess that's okay.
But you know, a lot of hotels have refrigerators that contain alcohol, right?
Right, right.
So maybe that's why they applies to janitors, I would suspect. And the people that clean the...
No, because it's at office buildings.
Oh, office buildings.
Yeah,
oh,
anywhere.
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so...
It's not janitors in hotels.
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's any building in the city.
But room service people have to fill it out, too.
Anybody who carries alcohol, serves alcohol in any way.
But that could be potentially hundreds of thousands of people, right? I mean, there are a lot of
people. Well, not hundreds of thousands. It could be thousands. It's definitely thousands.
I mean,
people,
there's so many hotels. I mean, Disneyland Hotel,
there's
hotels.
There's union hotels, non-union hotels. This could apply to people who work at Coco's, Denny's,
Oh, the restaurants.
Any restaurant anywhere, might even apply to people at liquor stores, gas stations, where they sell beer. They have a. Excuse me, a lot of work cut out for them.
It's probably somebody thought of the idea. There's a fee involved in this, no?
$1.
Oh, $1.
So I don't think
it wasn't.
I don't think this is to raise money. No, no, it's to use money that they got. But it's also, I think it's to just my personal theory is that if I were an investigative reporter looking into this, I would look at the possibility that this is. Just an excuse to get a more data on people, which could be used in all kinds of bad ways.
But the interesting thing is why it started in the 60s.
1965, I guess. That's what I was wondering. And when I originally talked to somebody from the city, it was either city attorney or office or the city manager's office. I somewhat facetiously said, I don't know what the purpose of this was. Was it to root out? Communists or whatever, and they kind of laughed and all that.
Anti-war activists.
But who knows what it was for back then? There was a different political climate there, more reactionary political climate in Anaheim.
More white bread.
I don't know when it was. Maybe it was 30s or 40s, but there was a time when the Ku Klux Klan was a power in Anaheim.
So, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Had influence on the police department, but they don't anymore. But I'm just saying, who knows? See, at that time, that kind of politics would be, not so far gone. So I don't know what the purpose was at that time.
So if you get the date, are you going to look up old newspapers to find out what happened?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to get all the information.
Maybe you can find out. Maybe the city will offer that information.
Well, the city has to give us the information that I've asked for under the California Public Records Act, so...
They should give you the grant proposal.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's right. I've asked for anything pertaining to the grant.
Right.
So we'll see. And I was told that this will take a few days of intensive research for them to gather this information because it's scattered throughout City Hall. So...
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be, but it seems like
I'm sure the police know. Somebody in the police department wrote away for this money, so they must have a copy of the grant.
Yeah, sure. They should have definitely.
They shouldn't
a copy
be
of the grant proposal, yeah.
Right. So, do you see this as an opportunity to form coalitions with other groups that are concerned?
We're always forming coalitions, and the people who are there who are going to be there tonight or on Tuesday night are like, for example, the Airman Dodd, they're already our strong allies. And
the ACLU people, civil rights community, would be probably show up, some of them.
It's my understanding that they will.
What's the address for this council meeting?
It's 200 Anaheim Boulevard. Check that 200 thing, that 200 number, but it's on Anaheim Boulevard. And
the meeting itself starts at 5?
The meeting has started at 5, and so right after you hear this show, you have to rush on over there.
So what's the, since you're not on the agenda, so you're trying to get...
We'll go to public comments.
During public comment. And how many minutes does each member of the public have?
You get 5 minutes, but someone told me, and I didn't have a chance in all the commotion to check this out, that there's a 10-minute subject limit.
He's like two people?
So I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't think that people are going to like not being able to speak up at the council. I mean, I hope that if there is such a limit, that the mayor has the discretion and will use it to bypass that. I know...
Because recently I've been going to school board meetings, and they just let people speak, basically.
Right, this is unusual. And I haven't confirmed that. That's just several people told me that, though, who go to the meetings. So.
But in the past, when you've spoken at the meeting, did they cut you off after 10 minutes?
No. No, I've never noticed that, but I haven't noticed that, no.
So maybe they will be generous, hopefully. So do you see... I mean, I guess your point is... I know from the press reports, it sounds like the city thinks it can tinker with this ordinance and keep it intact, but make some modification. But you're not satisfied with that?
No, we want the ordinance, no ordinance. We want the...
Struck down.
Erased.
Why?
For all the reasons I've enumerated on so far. That it's a violation of privacy. It violates pages worth of constitutional rights and laws, and it's offensive.
You don't see any purpose for it, right?
No, there's no rational purpose for it, no proper purpose for it, none whatsoever.
Except for another bureaucratic layer.
Yeah, and to get information that Big Brother shouldn't have.
Right on. We're talking with John L. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. You're listening to Subversity Show with Dan Zhang, and with me is John O. What do you think are the other... I mean, this is one issue that you're working on right now. Have there been other concerns? You mentioned the complaint form. How about other...
Well, you brought it up.
I know. Okay. But, I mean, I know you've worked on that. That's why I brought it up. But what are other... What are your main concerns of the union at this point? You're trying to expand the union, get more members?
We're trying to. We just, by the way, just did have an expansion of 1,800 new members.
Wow.
Because of the card check neutrality agreement that we had with the with Disneyland regarding the new Disney. So that those workers are from the new Disney park at the California Adventure park and from the Grand Californian Hotel. So that's 1,800 new members because they voted by placing by giving us the okay on the cards to have the union represent them. So that's a major expansion. It's probably the biggest expansion that the union, single expansion that the union's ever had and in its existence.
Did you have to organize them, or they just automatically?
Well, it was a long process over the last 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Because this agreement goes back about 3 years. And so it took a lot of organizing, going out and talking to people. See, there are also people who, there's a lot of work to do with people who were already working at Disney that had an option to transfer over there and then transfer back if they preferred to work back where they used to work. And there's a lot of busy work to do
So the agreement is that Disneyland would not interfere if you did that. What's
right?
The agreement?
Right. They acted in good faith. We had a nice smooth process and no problems with it whatsoever. There are like technical problems, but those were worked out. And
is it a union shop kind of thing? So people who don't join also have to pay a fee.
Well, the majority of the people voted through the cards to have the union representative. Therefore, the union represents everyone.
I see.
So everyone will who's full time or who's an active member will pay. Anybody who works there will pay dues to the union, which, by the way, are about some of the lowest dues of any union anywhere.
They have to join.
So they'll be a member, and they'll be protected.
They will join.
They have to join. Yeah.
They have to join. Okay.
Yeah.
Because in the UC system, they at least with some employees, they've changed it so that, they made it so that if you're not a member, you have to pay fees. So it's equivalent to being a member.
Right, I'm sure they still the union has to represent them and all that too. They're essentially members. I mean, they may not. I mean, it's a kind of semantical thing there, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah, but they'll get all the protections and everything that that other union workers just are. Yeah, we're always trying to organize, but that's a major part of any union's program. But also, our goal is always to serve the members that we have. You can't just be organizing. You got to be doing what you the things that you organized to do. you organize so that you can protect the rights of the workers, so that you can serve the workers, so they can have a voice, and so you have to help give them that voice after you organize.
You know, I know that you've also gone to Garden Grove City Council to try to get the council there more responsive to workers' needs,
right,
and concerns.
Right.
This is a new council. There was a Democratic coalition with this Republican who used to work for Dornan, and all three people got reelected. One was the mayor, what got reelected, Broadwater.
Well, no, I don't know.
Right.
One,
right.
You're talking about Mayor Bruce Broadwater,
yeah,
who was reelected.
Reelected, and then the other
Mark
two.
Rosen, who was elected for the first time.
Oh, who was elected the first time?
He had been appointed before, and
right.
Van Tran,
was elected
who
first
was
time.
Elected for his first time. Yeah.
As a Republican. Right.
It's a nonpartisan.
It's a nonpartisan.
He is a Republican, but
right.
It's not a, yeah.
So all three, two of the three are new people on the council. And Van Tran is the only Asian there, right?
There's one new person on the council, and that's Van Tran.
Rosen was reelected.
He was elected, but he had been appointed, so he'd actually been on the council for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the only Asian. Van Tran is the only Asian,
yes,
guy. Yeah, because the former Korean guy, Ho Chung.
Right, he retired.
Left, yeah.
Yeah.
What has been their reaction to... What have you been trying to get them to do? Were you trying to get them to be not so friendly with developers?
No, we don't have any problem with them being friendly with developers. But what we want the developers to do, and what we want the city to do, is require the developers to play fair and to give the workers a choice. We believe that the workers, we're not so arrogant to think that the workers necessarily want the union, okay, but we want the workers to have a choice, and that's why we're saying stop giving tens of millions of dollars to hotel owners who don't respect the right of the workers to make their own choice. And that means more specifically, we're talking about a card check neutrality agreement that says the employer will not interfere and that the union will not harass workers, will not, which we don't do anyways, by the way. It's really the other way around. But we won't protest outside, we won't call for boycotts and all that kind of stuff, see? So it's another popular term for that is labor peace agreement. It protects the city's investment because they want labor. If there's labor peace, there'll be better business. And also, if these places are union, they're going to get more business. All of our places that are union, all the union hotels know that they get more business because people call
conventions
up conventions. A lot of groups won't go to a non-union hotel. So anyways, we're saying give them pass an ordinance that says no more subsidies to hotel owners who do not. Agree to work out a card check neutrality agreement with the union.
But in the city of Garden Grove, you were concerned particularly about some aspect of how workers were being treated? Was that...
Well, at the Crown Plaza Hotel, the way they were being intimidated by the management there, workers there are very afraid to speak to the union. And they can't really consider what the union has to offer in that kind of an atmosphere. We had one worker who was trying to help organize for the union, and she stood up at a orientation meeting and pointed out that this housekeeping staff are not being given their legally required breaks. And shortly thereafter, she was fired. You know, they intensified their inspection of her work like they'd never done before, you see, and suddenly found fault with everything, and
yeah,
she was out of there. So it was that kind of atmosphere, calling one-on-one meetings with people, that kind of
thing. To lecture them on...
Well, we don't know what they lectured them on, but it's just suspicious that they called right after we go to a council meeting or have a demonstration or have some kind of public presence, and they call the workers in, so, you know.
Is that particular worker going to appeal her dismissal? Or
She's working somewhere else right now. She probably could do that, but it would take months. In the meantime, she's, you know.
Yeah.
That's still an option. We could still do that. Certainly aren't ruling that out.
So they're not letting you organize that, basically.
Well, they're trying to. We're going to organize the place regardless, but we're going to give the workers the choice they want. It's either going to be done the easy way, the best way, or the hard way.
You've demonstrated out there, right?
We've demonstrated out there. Yeah, on the opening day, yeah.
And was Loretta Sanchez the only one that listened to you on that demonstration? Other people did, other politicians.
I don't know what you mean, listen.
I mean, she didn't show up, right? Or she did.
She canceled, as I recall, she canceled an event there. She wouldn't go there that night to their, I think Senator Dunn also. State Senator Joe Dunn, and has been very supportive of the union. Yeah.
How about the city council people? What's their reaction to the union activism that your group has been doing in the city of Garden Grove? The like Rosen and Broadwater and Van Tran, how are they reacting? I mean, the two of the three are Democrats. Are they better than the Republican on this issue?
I don't think that it would benefit anybody for me to characterize that. City Council is a bipartisan political body. It's the Republican Democrat doesn't matter so much. This issue isn't.
Are you optimistic?
Republican Democrat.
No, but are you optimistic with working with them? Are you trying to change the attitude, or are you trying to get them to do more stuff?
I'm sure that they'll see the light.
All of them?
No. No.
But okay. Well, on that point, I want to thank you, John, for coming in and doing this, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you. You've been listening to Subversity here on KUCI with Dan Zhang. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show were not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of this station. Stay tuned. Coming up, Diane Chapman with High Visibility.
Good news to you, I'll tell of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? My daddy was a miner, he's now in the air and sun. Stick with him, brother miners, until this battle's won. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Don't scab for the bosses, don't listen to their lies. Us poor folks haven't got a chance unless we organize. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Oh, workers, can you stand it? Oh, tell me if you can. Will you be a lousy scab or will you be a man? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? The bosses have divided us, lied to us all along. The only way to beat them is one big union strong. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? So shoulder to shoulder, in union we shall stand. We'll beat the scabs and bosses, so come and lend.